Chapter 3. Fire in the Bush. 1. Now Moses was pasturing the flock of Jethro his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the west side of the wilderness, and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. Exodus 3 verse 1. How does God call his chosen selected sons and daughters? Does he say, "Hey, you and you and you"? Does he give us a dream on a rock, as he did with Jacob, or perhaps he uses a ram in the thicket, like he did with Abraham and Isaac? One thing I have noticed in my God journey, if I don't interact with heaven, all I get is religion. Why would I ever just want religion and never get heaven? I have been desperate for heaven since my heavenly encounter in 1981. Once we taste of the passion of this special place, we cannot be content for the ordinary. I was ruined for the ordinary. I will tell you of this encounter later in the book. Much like David, Moses spent time alone with God. Both of these men were put in a position to have a God encounter. Moses found intimate time with God in the desert for a reason. Let's look at Exodus 3 verse 1 again. Now Moses was pasturing the flock of Jethro his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and held the flock to the west side of the wilderness, and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. This writing is about how God draws all of his selected sons and daughters to himself. In these biblical accounts, we see the uniqueness of our Heavenly Father and how he personally interacts with his children. Have you been on the mountaintop with God? Have you had a God-size encounter? In Exodus 3 verse 2, we see one of God's messengers bringing Moses to his heavenly attention. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, yet the bush was not consumed. As you read this whole writing, I want you to be aware of the great means God goes to as he tries to get our attention. How might he interact with you? His ways are totally unique and unexpected. When God gets our attention, we must always move in the direction that he is leading. It requires action on our part. Friends, has God gotten your attention yet? Ask him to shake and stir you in his direction, beyond the veil. Notice Moses' reply in verse 3. I must turn aside now and see this marvelous sight, why the bush is not burned up. Verse 4. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Friends, when God calls, we must respond, then with a clear and certain, Here I am, Lord. The Father will then interact with us. Isn't this wonderful? Continuing on, God the Father says in verses 5 to 6, Do not come near here, remove your sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. The Father also said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Then Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Moses was sent to the pastures, to a quiet place, so he could be quiet before God, a school of the Spirit, if you please. When it was time, God got his attention. Yes, I believe a burning bush that wasn't consumed with fire would have worked for most of us. It would have gotten our attention, right? In Moses' case, his undivided attention was drawn to the brilliant fire in this bush, and he knew he was having a supernatural connection. Now what happened next would influence Moses' destiny. Yes, Moses had choices to make and a resolve, no internal chaos, no external distractions. Full undivided attention to heaven, and now the unexpected turned into the expected for Moses. Destiny was set into motion for the Israelite children, and Moses was God's selected servant to be the leader. Notice, Exodus 3 verses 7 to 8 expresses the Father's heart from that heavenly dimension. The Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have given heed to their cry because of their taskmasters, for I am aware of their sufferings. So I have come down to deliver them from the power of the Egyptians. God's call from the bush. Verse 10. Therefore, come now, and I will send you to Pharaoh, so that you may bring my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt. God was not only calling Moses, commissioning him, but promising to be with him. Wow, friends! What more would we need to set us into motion? Yes, Moses had his insecurities and doubts much like we do, yet he went. In verse 13, we read how Moses has questions. Who should I say has sent me? What shall I say? Verse 14 is God's reply to Moses, "I am who I am," thus you shall say to them, "I am, has sent me to you. This is my memorial name to all generations." Moses tried every excuse he could possibly muster up, yet to no avail, for the Lord showed him many things. Finally, Moses submitted to God. Friends, you probably have not seen a burning bush, used a rock for your pillow, or had a lion or bear encounter. Yet God, even today, has the power for His presence to come down to speak, much like He has done with Moses and David. If you haven't had such an encounter, isn't it about time? What is holding you back? Do you want God to move on to other selected servants, call someone else? Or will you step up to the plate? 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, "For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that He may strongly support those whose heart is completely His." So, friend, what part of the school of the Spirit, the journey with God, has stopped you? Isn't it time to stretch your dimensions and say yes to the call of God on your life?